Moms, you're awesome. You're awesome. And I was thinking about my own mom this morning that she just is so under the radar and does things so much like preparing flowers every Mother's Day and just little things that she thinks about all the time. So thank you, Mom. I love you. Whenever I've had the opportunity to speak on Mother's Day, in a room like this, we're going to have many, many stories of Mom. Some great, some painful. I think under the umbrella today, we've all had a mom, and that's where I'm coming from, even if you're not a mother today. I love telling my kids and others the great detail that the Lord has gone to make you, and that there's purpose in our life, that we weren't just something that just happened, but you're actually knit together by a designer with a purpose for your life. So in this room today, no matter where we're at in our journey, to know if you don't feel encouraged, you don't feel great, you don't feel outstanding, I just chalk it up to those are feelings, okay? Because the fact is you are outstanding, you are amazing, there's great detail in your life, and you're woven together for a purpose and for a time like this today. So that's where we come together. I was thinking about all that has gone before, all the moms have gone before me, being a mom. And there's one thing that comes to mind. It is hard work. When I first had my kids, I remember just having Cade. I called my mom and I thought, the oldest of four, teacher. I've done a lot of babysitting. I mean, how hard can it be? You know, literally that's what I thought. And I remember calling her and going, this is so hard. So it is hard, and it's hard and something that we can't just power through. Something that we need the Lord's direction in. And as I was really just preparing my heart over the last couple of weeks of what the Lord would have me say today, it's really an exhortation to us as women and as mothers and really as a person. I was thinking about Hannah in the Bible, how she was a woman of prayer. And the way that she started her journey as a mom is through prayer and on her knees and asking the Lord to do something for her. If you're familiar with this story, you know that she had a sister wife that would taunt her and make fun of her and laugh at her. Her own husband thought she was drunk when she was praying and pouring her heart out because he couldn't hear the words, but he saw her mouth moving. And so her husband wasn't sure what was going on. Her husband kept telling her that he loved her and aren't I enough? And she struggled with that. So she was a real woman that was spiritually distressed, socially disgraced, because in that time to not be able to bear children was really disgraceful, emotionally depressed because she was barren, and she had a rival that wouldn't stop and kept on her heels. And she struggled with that. And the story with Hannah is she didn't allow those things to define her. She pressed forward. She really took captive her mind, is what I see when I read the text, that she pressed into the Lord, and she continued to pour her heart out, and the Lord honored her prayers and gave her a child. The second mom that comes to mind, this is just a few. As you start getting into this, there's so many. But Moses' mom. Moses' mom was a risk taker, and she did it for the sake of her son. In the time when Pharaoh had said all the baby boys must be killed and thrown away, she had this son named Moses that she hid for 3 months. And then she put him in a little basket that she made with tar and pitch and put it down the Nile River. And who knows what was in that river, by the way. Really, I mean, yeah, crocodiles and all lots of stuff. So snakes and put him in that river and trusted God and sent him down. She was a mom who took a risk in faith. And the beautiful thing, as I read that story, I'm going to kind of skim over some of these just for time's sake, and you can go back and read them if you'd like. But in Exodus 2, it talks about how then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile, and then what did she find? The baby in a basket. And she had mercy on that baby. And she said she allowed the little girl there that was his sister to go and find somebody to care for the baby. And who was that? It was Moses' mom that was able to feed the baby until he's old enough and give him back. So the Lord restored and allowed her to have time and still have a relationship with her child. And I think about that, how many times we're asked to let go of our children and put them down that aisle. And it's so, right, as a mom, it's so scary. And so I think about, she couldn't have done that if she didn't trust the Lord. You know, Hannah couldn't have kept hammering at it if she didn't know that God was listening. I was thinking about Jesus's mom, Mary, that her whole life was to be a vessel, just to be a vessel, and to carry this baby. And what she had to endure was social awkwardness, people talking about her, constantly explaining, people not wanting to believe, and had to choose to believe what the Lord had said. And after she realized what had happened, she proclaimed the goodness of the Lord. In Luke 1:46, Mary says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he's been mindful of a humble state of his servant. Now from all generations they'll call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. And he's performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud of their innermost thoughts. He's brought them down rulers from their thrones, and he's lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, and he has sent the rich away empty." You can see that she's going through the list proclaiming what God has done. She's reminding herself and praising the Lord. And she continues to just to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised to our ancestors. She goes on and remembers what God has done. We have a woman that we've just talked about of prayer, faith, and being a vessel. And to be a mom in our culture, in our time, when it's not easy for any of those things. We're constantly struggling against what we want and what our kids need and what society says and our families and all these different things that are constantly vying for our attention. And anytime I read the Bible, I really try to remember that these were people like you and me. You know, these aren't like, it's not like a play like, oh, they're so strong and they don't have feelings. No, they were broken. They were scared. They were afraid. Do you think Moses' mom was like, "This is great, see ya"? No, no. I believe, I mean, I have a picture in my mind, and that's, we don't know, but this is, the Bible allows us to think of these things. I think she probably cried. I think she probably gave that oldest sibling, like, you follow that baby, and you let me know, and then just grab him. You know, I don't know what happened, but I'm kind of thinking what I would do. And we have these women who have taken risks and see a bigger picture. And I think being a mom is the thing that can humble you at any moment. Whether they go to the grandparents' house and they say something, they're like, "Huh, in-house." Or or they make comments. My mom said I love to comment on people's appearances, and I wasn't being mean. I was just being factual. Very humbling, I'm sure. Kids are, you know, they want to touch and feel everything. They, you know, they'll pick the wrong time to have a fit, you know, at home when you're, you know, you can let it rip. No, we're not going to do that. We're going to do it in a meeting when you need them to be quiet, and they're just going to let it rip. And you're just like, you know, all these different things. I think as our kids get older, I've heard so many times right now it's physical and then it gets emotional and all this stuff. It doesn't matter from what I hear from the moms who have their kids raised and gone. You're still a mom. And you still care. You still try to turn that worry into prayer and faith. And I guess I have this in my heart today that it's not over yet. The story's not over. As long as we're breathing, there's hope for our grown children, for our little children. It's not over. And one of the things that I'm really trying to do with my own self, and I would encourage us to do, is to believe in the process. There is this building that's being built that I drive like 4 times a week by with my kids on the way to therapy. And I always say, what is it? And they go, believe in the process. And there's like, there's this building that we've literally seen kind of like go and go. And all of a sudden Lucy's like, it's big now. I'm like, I know. And so we're seeing these men work every day. And if you just see it every day, it looks like nothing's happening except more detours and all this stuff. And that's what God does. He puts these detours in our lives that are hard and that are scary and that take faith and that we have to be a vessel. And all we really want to do is get to the end of the destination, right? But how many times have we heard it's not about the destination? It's about the journey. It's about the journey. And the Lord is so, in every story you read in the Bible, what I have found, he wants our hearts, period. He wants our hearts. It's not about our knowledge, how much we know. I mean, how many times, I could say all of us in this room at a time have not felt like we know enough, don't feel smart enough, don't feel spiritual enough, don't feel wise enough. But the Lord, all he wants is our hearts. And there's an amazing story that I always remember, and it's in Dr. Ben Carson's book, Take the Risk. And if you haven't read it, I really encourage you all to read that book. It was given to us from the church 2 years ago. So it is a fabulous book. It will build your faith. And I'm telling you, there's nothing better when you're feeling down just to read these stories. And then you remind yourself, God already knows but what he's done and what he's capable of. And Dr. Ben Carson was, in any kind of definition, would be an at-risk kid today. You know, he's in a poor community, African-American. He didn't have a father. His birth mom, got married at 13 years old and was divorced in her 20s. He had a brother, and he was living in, I believe it was Detroit, and he was not doing well in school. And he was really just kind of slipping through the cracks, which is personally my nightmare. I don't want my kids to slip through the cracks in school. And this mom just said to the boys, I'm going to pray about this, and I'm going to tell you in the morning what I'm going to do. That's always fun, right? And so they said, okay. And his nickname at this time was Dummy from his peers, okay? So he was taunted. He didn't know anything. He didn't feel smart. And his mom woke up and said, I know what I'm going to do. You're limited to 3 shows during the week of TV, so that must have meant they're watching a lot, right? And you have to go to the public library, pick out 2 books. You have to read 2 books a week, and I need reports on both of them. Written. And that's what she did, and that's what God told her to do. And her friends thought she was too hard. She said, your sons, they're going to really rebel. They're not going to like it. But he writes that deep down, he loved it. And she would make them read it to them, and she would listen, and then she'd take their papers, and she would put checks on them and say, okay, next week, 2 more. Soon or later, they found out their mother couldn't read. I know, right? And what she did was, it humbles me, because God gave her wisdom beyond and above her situation. God is going to give us wisdom above and beyond our situation. The story goes on. Dr. Carson was the number one neurosurgeon in the country. He was at Johns Hopkins. Turns out, we got a second opinion from him. I just feel so thankful that his mom refused to quit, even when she didn't know the answers. And it was their mom that changed their life and drew a line in the sand. And it, you know, he jokes, it wasn't rocket science, but I'm like, and you're a brain surgeon. So it's like, you know, but it's like, it's amazing. And I thought about that story of, okay, there's a lot of things that I deal with that are really above what I think my skill set is. Okay, but it says he gives us wisdom generously. That's what the word says. It's either true or not. And by no means am I through this when I'm saying these things, because I'm not through a lot of this with my kids. Those of you that know our story with Cade, I mean, I feel like every week there's a new potential of things. And so I've been really asking the Lord, I'm like, okay, I don't know what to do, but you give wisdom generously. what should I do? And then however he speaks to me and Mike, that we'll take that risk. My parents took great risk with me in school. I mean, things that are so outside the box and so different. And, you know, I think even now you look back and that educational model is, it, people wouldn't even suggest it maybe. And God did not look at the model. He looked at my parents' hearts and he honored them. Because in every way they knew how, they aligned themselves with him. And that gives me great courage for my own children because, you know, we are going to mess up. We have messed up. So to realign ourselves. I'm really loving this book. I've read it before. It's Ants, Vine, and the Churches by Charles Simpson. And it's a great book. And I was just kind of rereading it. And I love this little paragraph. He says, in my mid-teens were rebellious years. At age 17 was the worst. On Saturday, late night, my dad said, son, you know your mother and I did tonight? Or you know what your mother and I did tonight? No, sir. We gave you back to God, he continued. he gave you to us, and now we don't know what to do with you, so we're giving you back. And I found great comfort in that because he didn't want any part of this. He was running. And Charles Simpson has been such an intricate role in the kingdom of God and what he's done. So as we're thinking about this, the exhortation that keeps coming to my mind is take heart. It's not over. It is not over. Nothing's over. The lines have not been drawn until the day that God says you're done. And that's with our last breath, it's over then. Until then, he asks us to pray, to have faith, and be a vessel. And we can't put our hope in what we see. We see a behavior. We see the hardship. We see the long distance. We see the dreams that maybe we had for our kids, but they don't have for themselves, and so we're dealing with that. We see that, and I'm really trying to daily shake those off and abide in him and see what happens. I had a wonderful trip with my sister not too long ago, and it was beautiful up north, and there was tons of vineyards. And one of Mike's students last year gave us a grapevine. They heard we were eating healthier, so they're like, well. And then Jenny Bray had given me a pomegranate tree. And I said, joking to Mike, this year's going to be fruitful. I was excited. It's a fruitful year. Well, I was watering. I'm talking to my brother-in-law, Hunter, about this vine. I said, yeah, I water the vine. It's so fun in the morning. I love to go out there and water the few things I have. And you know what? The leaves are starting to turn yellow. And he goes, oh, you're giving them too much water. I said, really? And he goes, yeah, vines make the best fruit when they struggle. And I thought, wow. He didn't even know what he was saying to me. And I'm like, oh, and I started reading stuff. They're like, oh. So I asked, I go, can I just come watch you prune vines one time? He's like, sure, because he works on a vineyard. But I thought about that. It's not our job to save our kids from every horrible thing that we see coming. We try, and our job is to protect them and be the best parents. But we do best when we struggle, and we're going to struggle because that's, we're going to have hard times. It says that, but we can overcome those things. So just in closing, a few more little things, but to just let these words, you know, picture a vine if you can, picture your own heart, picture where you're at. I mean, in a room like this, you have people who are not interested in God at all, especially today. They're here for mom. You have people who want more of him. So wherever you're at, you have soil in there, and that's called your heart. And you can't run from the fact that God knows you and he knows how to speak to you. And like an arrow, he goes right in there, and then you have to deal with God. Because it's one thing to sit on the fence and say it doesn't matter, but when you really think about it, no decision is a decision. So, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. So that it will be more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, also I remain in you. No branch, So this is you, maybe put your name in there, Aaron. No branch, Aaron. You cannot bear fruit by itself. It must remain in me. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, this is a promise. It's simple, but it's so hard. You, put your name in there, will bear much fruit. Even with your situations, even with your kids, even with all those things. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So if you do not remain in me, you will be like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and that it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. We were meant to be fruit bearers. We are meant to be faithful. I was telling Jenny about my pomegranate tree this morning, and I'm like, yeah, I thought it was dead. It wasn't. It was dormant. So I had to learn about that. So there's going to be times in our life that we think we're dead. You're not. He breathes on you, and he brings life. We're believing in the process. How can we face trials of various kinds? How can we endure this race called life that's set before us? How can we have hope for the hopeless? How can we train up a child in the way they should go, even when it feels we get derailed? Every day we have a choice to engage, to train, to support, and to love. My favorite thing is every day we have a new morning to push reset and start fresh. Even if we had a bad attitude yesterday, we could start over and do better. As a mom, as a person, we can't give away something we don't have. We can't teach our children about deeper things if we don't want deeper things. Being involved in youth ministry for many years, there would be kids that would come to groups, and it was like the parents wanted it for their kids to, they'd get them close, but they didn't want to invest it in them. So that's what the kids would do, is they'd get close. We want our kids to be drenched. We can have as much of God as we want. Isn't that crazy? Just think about that. I was thinking about that. I'm like, okay. Do we need a breakthrough in our job, in our business, in our family, in our marriage? Do we need a touch from the Lord, like the bleeding woman in the crowd that just reached out to touch his garment? She was willing to step out of the crowd. Are we willing to step out, being obedient to what he's asked, and building my faith as I study these different people in the Bible and highlighting these women, that he's the real deal. He's gone at great lengths to pursue you. You. Not a group, you. He knows you by name. He knows the hairs on your head. He knows what you think about. He knows your fears. He knows your limitations. And you know what? He's not losing sleep, because he knows. And his desire is to love you and embrace you. And I just, you know, we're all works in progresses. We just are. I'll tell my kids, it's great freedom when you can apologize to them. And I'll say, I'm so sorry, mommy had a bad attitude. And they're like, I know, forgive you. I do it a lot, it's really freeing. And then when one of them corrects me, like, mommy, you're doing it again. I'm like, you're right, breathe. So I think that you can have fun with your kids too, like being transparent that way. And just, I thought that kids president thing was so funny, because sometimes they just want you to be silly and dance in the aisles, even if it's not your personality, right? So it's such an honor to be here today and to encourage you and to let you know that we're in this together, and God's your biggest cheerleader. And I just, those words were on my heart to exhort us to really stay connected, and that we'll bear much fruit. So, amen.